Right, welcome to Family Night at the Lighthouse. We are so glad you are here with us tonight. So we have our adults in here for our adult Bible study. We have teenagers back there having a youth service. And then our kids are learning the Word of God in individual classes. So we're excited for what God is doing here. We want to remind you, if you're watching online, we are interactive. So please, if you have a comment, a question, please type that in and we will address that here. And then if you're in the building, make sure you make your way to a microphone if you want to say anything, just so everybody here can hear you and also everybody online can hear what you have to say. And Brother Ryan, can you watch for comments online for me? All right, so today is our last lesson on outreach. That doesn't mean we should stop reaching out, but it means we're done with this focus on outreach. And then our next lesson, we're going to move into discipleship. And again, I want to say, if you have not been to a Target service uptown, I encourage you to check it out. I have been very excited to see what's going on up there. The first two services we've had have been really good, and I believe it's just going to get better each and every time, because number one, we're praying, and number two, we're going up there with expectation. So when you do that, God shows up, and so I'm excited to see what he's doing. As I said, our next lesson is going to start discipleship. We do have the first lesson set back at the welcome desk, so if you want to grab that. We do not have tonight's lesson because we're finishing up, and I think we had one lesson, and we were on that for three or four times. So I will warn you, the next lesson is 4 pages long, front and back. We may not get through it in one service. It may take us a few, but we're not going to rush it, because we want to get all we can out of these lessons and really see what God is doing in us. And so for this last part of outreach, we are talking about witnessing and being a witness. So last lesson, I always want to say last week, but it was 2 weeks ago, Ryan discussed that we need the fullness of the gospel. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to mention hell, because it might hurt someone's feelings, because that's part of the fullness of the gospel. It's part of the truth. And it's very important that we're able to speak the truth. But we're going to talk about being a witness, and I think that's what allows us to have an audience with people. When they see your life, that you're not just saying words, but you're living it out. When they see that you really, truly love them and care about them, they're going to be far more open to hear what you have to say. And so tonight we're going to go into that about what kind of witness are you and how are we witnessing for Christ. So before we even get into this lesson, I want to ask this question. And so I need a few people to come up to microphones and answer for me. Can you think of someone throughout your life, whether you are young or now, who has witnessed to you? Someone that you saw their life, or you heard that they gave a testimony, it impacted you. You remember that. Is there somebody who witnessed to you that you'd be willing to share that? Brother Ryan.
Well, he's not here, but Scott Baldridge. I've known Scott most of my life. And I've not only heard Scott's testimony, but I've seen Scott's testimony. I've seen the amazing transformation in who the man he is today. Compared to who he used to be. And if it wasn't for God teaching me things, that'd be enough right there for me to recognize that something's powerful.
Yeah.
That's bigger than anything that we understand. Because God's done the same thing for me. So I've seen that in my own life. But Scott, just an incredible Holy Spirit transformation in that man, and he's not afraid to share his testimony. He's not afraid to witness to you. He's not afraid to tell you the hard truth when you need to hear it.
Yep.
And he's a spiritual father to me, and he's a powerful man of God. So that would be my guy.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. I've heard another guy who also had talked years ago. He's passed on now, but said Scott is the one who led him to the Lord by starting a Bible study in his house. And they studied the Word of God together, and the guy came to know that Jesus Christ is real and transformed his life. So great. Anyone else that you remember, somebody witnessing to you, somebody telling you about the goodness of God, somebody that you saw a transformation in their life? while you're thinking, I'll share mine. My dad was definitely not only my biological father, but a spiritual father. And I only saw him every other weekend. I did not live with my father. But when I saw him, he was constantly living the Christian life before me and talking to me about Jesus and raising me up the way that I should go. So he was definitely a witness to me that I saw him live the life. And then another one I thought of was a lady in my church when I was probably 7 or 8, who I grew up in church, and I was kneeling at an altar one, I think it was a Sunday night, and she came and knelt next to me and said, "Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart?" And how many of you know sometimes kids grow up in the church and we forget to ask them that question? And it takes some of you to go have a conversation with a child and say, "I know you've been coming to church for a long time, but have you ever asked Jesus into your life?" And maybe you share a testimony and you lead someone to Christ. And so that lady was very impactful to me. Her name was Sister Doris. And I think of other Sunday school teachers, and I think of my pastor and just the different people that I looked up to. And I saw them walking out their faith. It wasn't just something they talked about on Sunday, but it's something they lived every day. And it was so vitally important. Anybody else have someone they want to share that you remember witness to you? Sister Sally.
I remember I was working at Bud and Sister Joanne Hensley. She was the best witness. She would come and talk to me, and I watched her because I knew what she was saying, and I watched her, and you know, she walked that very life, and she was she really gave me encouragement, and she would talk to me every day about Jesus and help me to understand a little more. She was really great. And then as a young child, like 4 or 5, my aunt used to come and visit us, and she was a Christian woman. But I didn't know anything about Christians or God or anything. But I remember my older brothers and sisters would always say, "Oh, no, here comes that churchy lady again." And the way they said it, I thought, "Oh, that's bad." And so I would watch her. But she was so nice and so sweet and so gentle. And she would even say, "Oh, here, let me do that. My chores that I had to do. And let me do it for you."
Yeah.
And I remember her in awe growing. I always remember, I wonder why they think she's mean, because she's nice.
Right.
And she was a real strong Christian lady. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, then she would mention Jesus and explain that. So she was a good influence on my life.
Thank you, Sister Tricia.
So my Grandpa Reisner, he, ever since I was a little girl, I could always remember going to their house, and he was reading his Bible or playing the guitar, singing some type of praise song to the Lord. And he always spoke of the Lord in front of me. And today, to this day, I'm 103 years old. I just spoke to him on Sunday. And he prayed over me with such power that you would have never thought that he was 103 years old. So to see someone live that long and still speak forth the word of the Lord in such power it's really blessed me.
Yeah. So we've heard a few examples. Let me ask you this question as you're coming. Where would you be without those? So without a grandpa, without a coworker, without the aunt, without the friend, without my father, my Sunday school teacher, my life would look different. My experience of Christ could be very different. So everyone, and it wasn't the same person. Did you notice that? It wasn't always a grandfather. There are different relationships, but they were all very impactful because they took the moment and opportunity to tell someone about Jesus.
See, we had a 18-year-old that came to live with us, and it started out that Tammy and I were mentoring to him. He had a lot of brokenness in his life, but he got so on fire that he ended up leading youth Bible studies on his own, organizing events, street ministry, mission trips to all kinds of countries in the world. So it's kind of like he started out as our student, but then he became our teacher.
Yeah.
So.
And isn't that always the goal? I want to pour into someone else so they can do far greater than I could ever do. And the more people we pour into, it's multiplication. I'm not just trying to raise up one person. I'm not just witnessing to one person so they can replace me. I'm witnessing to anyone who will listen. So we have that many more people going out and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's look at our scripture tonight in Luke chapter 24. And we're starting in verse 46, and this is the King James Version. It says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So this is Jesus speaking to a group. This was after he resurrected from the dead. And he started this conversation because two men who had found Jesus while they were walking on the road went and started witnessing and telling a group of people what they saw. And as they're saying it, here comes Jesus in the midst. He shows up and he starts talking to them. So my first point is, who knows if he even would have showed up had they not been talking? We don't know. But because they were there telling the good news, here comes Jesus to confirm everything they're saying. And then in verse 48, Jesus says to them, "You are witnesses of these things." And so, church, even though we are not witnesses that we beheld it with our eyes, we weren't there 2,000 years ago, but we have all experienced Jesus Christ in our lives. And that is what we are witnesses to. We all have the Word of God in our hands. That is what we are witnesses to. And so we're not off the hook just because we didn't walk on the earth the same time Jesus did. He still expects us. You are witnesses of these things. The things that I've done in your life, the things that you've experienced, you're witnesses to. And he goes on in verse 49 to say, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And we know that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was coming to give them even more power to be a greater witness. And that is still available for us today. So the whole point of evangelism, the whole point of reaching out, is that we are called to go and share what we know, what we have experienced, what we have witnessed, we are to give testimony to. Just like if there was a car accident and you witnessed it happen, they may call you into court and say you need to give your testimony of what happened. It's the same thing. What you have seen, what you know to be true, we need to be telling it to others. Any questions or comments? All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more about our testimony reading in John chapter 15, verse 26. It says, "When the Comforter is come," again the Holy Spirit, "whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So we know in other scriptures it says the Holy Spirit only says what he hears from the Father. He doesn't testify of himself. He testifies of Christ. And that is our same purpose. And I wonder how much time we spend talking about ourselves. How much time do we spend talking about our jobs, about our family? If you have kids or grandkids, how much time do you spend bragging on how great they are and how good they are at this sport and what trophy they got and their good grades, which is all fine. But how much more important that we don't speak about ourselves, but we speak about Jesus Christ. Because the people you're talking to, it's not going to change them at how well your family's doing or what your work situation is like. But it could impact them to be that witness for Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is the first one to bear witness, and then the disciples were also commanded to share in the witness or testimony of Jesus Christ. So I want to share a few things about our testimony. Number one, any Christian should have this testimony that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And how did you come to know him? So if you've ever asked Christ into your life, you should be able to tell someone how you did that. And it looks different for everybody. So I've heard some people say, I remember this day, and it was this date, and it was this time and this location. For me, I was a young church girl. I don't remember what month it was. I'm not even exactly sure how old I was, 7 or 8, maybe. I think it was a Sunday night service, but what I know is that I asked Jesus into my heart. So everyone's situation is different, and that's okay. But you need to be able to tell someone, this is how Jesus became my Lord. And he can do the same for you. So that's number one, just sharing how he became the Lord of your life. Number two, you can share how he redeemed you. Redeem meaning he gave you back what you had lost. What Adam had lost for us, he redeemed it, gave it back. And then he reconciled us to Christ. So you can share the testimony of the relationship you now have that you didn't have before. And how many of you know that we're living in a world where people don't even know what sin is? Sometimes you have to start at the very beginning. And your testimony may be, I was a good person, but I still didn't have the right relationship with God. And that relationship only comes through Jesus Christ. And you have to explain people because they don't even know about, some people don't even know about Adam and Eve. As hard as that is for us to understand, so we need to be able to witness to what that is. And the third witness that you can give is specific stories of what God has done in your life. And I think those sometimes are the most powerful because, as Ryan said, he saw Scott before and he saw Scott after. And there ain't no denying there was a difference. And what Scott said is the difference was Jesus Christ. So those specific stories of what you experienced are powerful, Sister Tricia.
And two, if you think in the book of Malachi, in the third chapter, it talks about the book of remembrance. And it talks about those who fear the Lord spoke one to another. And our names are written down in this book. But then it goes on to say about him purifying us. But at the very end, it says, by this, people will be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked because we're speaking about the Lord and what he has done. So to me, that's like a double blessing. Because we get to tell the world about him, but then we get our names written in another book beside the book of life, and that God is actually listening to the things that we say about him to one another and then to others. And that is what is going to separate the light and the darkness so that the light will shine into the darkness, and that will be what I believe will break the chains.
Yeah, yep. And the Bible talks about even every idle word that we speak, we're going to give account for. So our words are very important and very powerful. I think there's almost an obligation. When God does something for you, we are obligated to tell someone else. It's not meant just for us to bottle it up and to hold it, because our life is not our own. And if we've been bought with a price, we're obligated to go and do and be obedient to what God has called us to do. Sometimes I think the church gets a little too complacent. Sometimes I think we forget that not everybody knows what we know. Not everyone's experienced it. As Sister Sally said, sometimes you have those people that they're going to want to avoid you. But then you'll have the ones like Sister Sally who says, she's really kind, and I want to hear more of what she has to say, right? So our lives, that kindness opens a door so that some might be saved. We're not going to, and that's one of the hard things, we're not going to see everybody saved. We know that. There will always be people that reject the word and the witness. But that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to save them. We're called to share the gospel. And what they do with it is up to them, but it's our job to share so that everybody has a chance, everybody has an opportunity to hear. Sister Sally.
And it's really good to share a testimony. Mm-hmm. Because, and don't just share it with Christians, share it with everyone. Yeah. Because unbelievers don't really believe the Bible. They think that's all made up. When they hear testimony after testimony, all these different people, it makes them, the chains in their head starts thinking.
Yeah,
and so that's important that we give our testimony to anyone that'll listen.
Yep. And sometimes you may feel that you've shared that testimony 50 times and nobody else wants to hear it. But let me tell you, there's somebody else that needs to hear it. So don't stop sharing those testimonies. And I think of all these kids in this church, I bet a lot of them have not heard your testimonies. So take an opportunity. On a Sunday afternoon when they're running around, just stop and say, hey, will you come talk to me for a minute? I want to tell you something. And share something that God did for you, because that builds their faith. And so we're not just witnessing just to unbelievers. We can witness to believers to encourage them, that we're stirring them up and say, don't forget. God did this and he still does this. Because you never know what that other person is going through, what they may need to hear. And so I encourage us, we need to be looking around for opportunities. And I know myself, the more that we've talked about this, the more I catch myself daily looking for opportunities. And I'm just more vigilant because we're talking about it so much. That reach and teach, it's like burning in my heart. And so I'm looking for opportunities. I'm praying for opportunities. And the more we do that, I believe the more God will open doors. And we'll continue to hear those testimonies. Anybody else? Before we move on to that next scripture. Okay, looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So we are called to be witnesses. We have a testimony to share, but we are also empowered to be witnesses. And Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is the best deal going. God tells us what to do. He gives us the information of what we need to do, and then he gives us the ability to do it. The only thing we have to do is open our mouth. The only thing we have to do is look for the opportunity and take it. He's doing all the work behind it. Because our words, some of you know, our words cannot change anything. We have no power to change anyone's situation. But the Holy Spirit can create a new creation from the old. He can bring beauty from ashes. He can redeem somebody that is broken that we think is so far gone. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. The word power there in the Greek means dynamis. And it talks about the strength and the ability and the miraculous power. Miraculous power. And it's the moral power of an excellence of the soul. Has anyone ever experienced the Holy Spirit giving you the power to do something you didn't think you could do? Just raise your hand if you've ever experienced where you thought, God, I can't do this without you. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall flat on my face. But when you step out and you trust God, he's going to be faithful, and he's going to give you the ability to do it. But our problem is sometimes we don't want to step out. We want to trust ourselves more than we trust the Holy Spirit. So he will give us the power if we're willing to step out and do it. Any questions or comments about the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness? Pastor Darius.
I remember when somebody witnessed to me about Jesus, and I was feeling this calling to be a preacher of the Word of God. I remember him telling me all the time, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it effectively. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like he was telling me, do not, because I started preaching in the church already, that I became a Christian 6 months after being a believer. I was already in the pulpit. I don't know how many wrong things I said about what I was already preaching. And I remember when I told my friend, I said, hey, I preach in the church. It was almost like he was telling me, don't do it again until you receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Mm. Of the Holy Ghost. And I was like, wait, why? And he was telling me, as a Pentecostal full of the fire of God, there's no other way to do it effectively without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. So this is what makes the difference between our message and the rest of the messages. that we hear in the world? How many commercials you see on TV? How many people advertising their businesses? The message of the church is not another message. The message of the church is the message.
Yeah.
It's the only one that can change the soul.
Yeah.
It's the only one that can transform a sinner and break the chains in their lives.
Yep.
So we need to understand that our message is not one more message. Mm-hmm. It's the only message.
Yeah.
And the only way to fulfill that great commission, not the great suggestion, is to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was almost like Jesus was telling them the same thing my friend told me. Do not start this thing until you receive the dunamis, the power, the energy, the synergy to have the power of God.
Yeah.
So, yes, we need to get back to our Pentecostal roots of being filled with the Holy Ghost and be in the altar crying out for the Holy Ghost and in prayer for the Holy Ghost to anoint us. Because otherwise, this is just another message. And we're just another religion. And we're not. We're the church.
Yeah. Yep. And so a couple of things I want to add to that is, you said it's the only message. It's the only message that will surpass this life. All those other messages people are talking about and discussing and trying to sell, it's going to die with them or with you. But this message is eternal. And so, again, going back to, we can talk about our family, we can talk about the weather, we can talk about sports. It's all going to pass away. And the only thing that's going to last is the eternal message of Jesus Christ. That's the one that will make a difference. Yes. And then when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, I remember, because I've shared this a couple times, that it took me a long time to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. That does not mean I was off the hook from witnessing. I would still live for Christ. I would tell people about Christ. What I noticed, the difference in my life, is that he empowers me to be different than I was before. Not that I'm not more saved now, but I am constantly changing. It's the Holy Spirit working in me and empowering me to do far greater than I could do before. I was still very saved. I would still tell people about Jesus. I would still read my Bible, and other people would see me, and it was a witness. So no matter what, we should still witness. And when you said you may have preached something that may not have been right, that's not an excuse to not do it. You may say, I don't know the right words. I don't know the scriptures. It doesn't matter. You open your mouth and you say what's there to say. What you know, you give. And let God deal with the rest, because it's easier for him to correct you and say, okay, you were a little off there. Let me tell you how to fix that, than to have nothing to work with. There's no starting point until we start. And then God can grow us, and we can learn through that. Sister Peggy.
And to follow up what the brother said, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one cannot really know Jesus as one should.
Mm-hmm. That fullness, the fullness of the power.
Of the Holy Spirit, you cannot know Jesus as you should, mm-hmm, until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yep. It is a good gift.
And the other thing, so the Holy Spirit has many names, of course, but the teacher, the helper, and the comforter are, you know, the three that come to my mind. And you can't fully understand the written word without the Holy Spirit. It's virtually impossible to read the Bible and to understand it and to comprehend it unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there is scripture that says there will come a time when we are brought before people and the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. And I know there are often many times when I'm talking to people and I just have this recall back to my remembrance. So, you know, I agree that we should speak out what we have. But when we go and we only have certain chances, you know, to witness to people, the more scripture we have living in us, not memorized, mm-hmm, but living in us, that's going to be the scripture where Jesus says, you will know the truth, and that truth is going to make you free. And so when we share that scripture, the Holy Spirit will bring that back to our remembrance, and it'll come out in the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's not anything that we do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, we are the vessel that he fills with his word to speak forth in power and demonstration.
Yeah. It is important to always be growing and learning. But I'm so thankful that God doesn't wait until we've arrived, because we'll never arrive, to do anything through us. So, I mean, there are stories of kids and I'm sure he won't mind me sharing, Caleb and Leah, their daughter Paisley, at an age of 2 or 3 years old, was the one witnessing to them, sitting down saying, we need to pray over this food before we eat, mom and dad. And they weren't saved. But I'll tell you what, that conviction, that Holy Spirit started working through a child who didn't know a whole lot of the Bible, who hadn't even been in church very much, only when a grandparent might bring her, or when they came on Easter and Christmas. But look at where God has brought them because of a child. It doesn't matter how much you know. It matters about being willing to open your mouth and share who God is. And so that is, it's powerful. And I love that God can even take us in our brokenness. When you go through a tragedy and a hard time and he works it out for good, and you can share that and encourage someone who's going through a tragedy. Like, nothing is wasted. With God, nothing is wasted unless we hold it and bottle it up. We're the ones that waste it. This last scripture is in Acts chapter 2. In verse 32, and there are so many scriptures. We could have had way more than what we shared tonight. There are lots of scriptures about being witnesses, but this one says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So we know there were people that physically saw him, lots of people that physically saw him and told people about it. They wrote about it so we could know and understand. But even though I've never physically saw him, I know that God raised him up. And I'm a witness because I've seen things he's done in my life. And I've shared those with people. I've shared them here. I've shared them different places. And it's just amazing to me that God is a personal God. He will meet you where you are. We heard it Sunday where they said there was a dream. And God even said the boy's name in the dream, who neither of these ladies had ever met. God knows. And when you encounter that, you're encountering Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And we have a witness to that.
So online, we got June Hackworth. She commented, I witnessed to my nephew and on many occasions told him the Lord loved him and that he needed to give his heart to the Lord. He started listening to a good minister and gave his heart to the Lord. Oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. And then Sister Tracy said, I was thinking today that even Jesus invited people to follow him. He didn't just allow them to see how he lived. He actually said the words, follow me.
Yeah.
If he invited people and he's our example, then we have to do the same. In Matthew 4, 18, 20, he says to Peter and Andrew, follow me.
Yep. And then not only Jesus, but the Apostle Paul. He told people, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's where it goes full circle to the beginning of this lesson, our lives. What kind of witness are we being? If people are following us and being like us, is that going to be good or bad? If they're doing everything you're doing, if they're thinking the way you think, if they're saying what you say, if they're going where you go, is that going to look like Jesus? Or is that going to look like the world? Because people do need to follow us. And we need to be setting a good example and being a good witness.
So also, even those who are not believers, the Bible says everyone is created in his image. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the world will say, well, that's your intuition. That's your conscious. That's the Spirit of God wooing you to him and trying to say, no, don't go that way. Go this way.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes, like I said, the world will that are not saved yet will pass it off as being something other than God. But there is no other, I mean, there are other voices, but the voice of truth is the voice of God. The voice that's going to lead you into goodness, that's the voice of God. And I think instead of, when I witness to people, I'll often say, God's always talking to you. He's always talking to you. Are you listening to what he's saying? He's the one that's talking to you in love, in peace, in gentleness. It's, you call it your conscience or your intuition, but that's actually the voice of God.
Yeah. And I always tell people, follow peace, because the enemy doesn't offer peace. He offers a lot of substitutions, but he doesn't offer peace. There's turmoil in his ways. But when you follow Christ, you hear that voice, it's peace. There's peace in it.
So something I think's pretty cool that Paul says in the book of Philippians. And I underlined one word, I don't know how long ago, but imagine the confidence and the boldness you'd have in your personal walk with Jesus Christ to say this to somebody. Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example that you have in us. Mm-hmm. And that's as he's preaching the gospel to people. And he doesn't say, do what I do. He says, observe the example that you have in us.
Yeah.
So he's basically throwing himself out there saying, I'm not just speaking a bunch of stuff to you. Look at what's in me. That's what I want you following. And he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's got the boldness and the courage, because that'd be tough. Because most of us want to walk around and talk about how fallen we are and how we're just sinners and we fall short of the glory of God, and all that's true. But when you're full, I mean, this man, he had it together, even though he says, I don't have it all together, but he still has the boldness to tell people, you can imitate what I'm telling you, what you see in me, you can imitate that, because I'm walking the good, you know, the whatever he says, finishing my race, pursuing my goal, what's ahead, the glories of Jesus Christ. So he's practicing what he's preaching, and he's inviting people, as you just said, or somebody said, to see what I do. I'm not afraid for you to watch what I do and to hear what I say, because I'm practicing what I'm preaching. So I just thought that was just a powerful thing where he says in us. Yeah. So I just thought it was kind of interesting. But
and every Christ follower should be able to say that. Yeah. And if we're not there yet, we need to get there.
That's right.
And the way we get there is to continue to seek, because it says when you seek him, you find him. And guess what? When you find him, you see all the junk in you. And it's got to come out. And so he does that purging, he does that pruning, and the disciples very well knew the pruning of God, right? Jesus constantly told them, knock it off. Like, that's not okay. That's of Satan. Stop. So we need to get to the place where we're not easily offended, where we can hear those hard words, because it's cutting stuff off in us so that we can be more like Christ. And that's what this world needs. They need to see what being a Christian is, not someone with a lot of excuses that says, well, this is what the Bible says, but, you know, that's really hard to live up to.
Right.
No.
Right.
If God says we should do it, we can do it, and we need to get there.
And following that idea, and also what that sister that commented on Facebook, and she said about when Jesus said, follow me, it's an amazing thing what that word meant for the apostles and the disciples when Jesus told them, follow me. Because you got to understand that Jesus was a rabbi. And in order to become a rabbi in the Jewish society, you had to be really well prepared in the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. But not only that, every rabbi had the opportunity to handpick his followers, his disciples, those that he was going to train. And those that he was going to train had to be also smart. So that's why any rabbi would not pick Peter, John, or any of the 12 that Jesus picked. They were fishermen.
Yeah.
They were something else, because they never made the cut to be able to become disciples of a rabbi. And here comes Jesus, hallelujah, telling these guys that didn't make the cut, follow me. I'm going to make you my disciple. That tells me that all of us can make the cut Amen. With Jesus.
Yeah.
And for me, it's such a beautiful thought that he's told us, follow me. But I don't have all the good things that you need. No, no, no. Yes, you do. Follow me.
Mm-hmm.
But my past, I have so much of a mess in my past. No, no, no. Follow me. You can make the cut.
Amen.
So we can all participate in the calling of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And because we know that he has called everyone, we don't have to be selective about who we talk to. We share our testimony with anyone that's in front of us. We can witness to and know that God has a plan for their life. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, young or old. Doesn't matter where they come from, where they've been. Whosoever will. So I'm thankful for that.
And the following is the fellowship. And in 1 John 1, it talks about in him, he is light, and in him there is no darkness. And the closer that we get with him, his light shines into that darkness in our own lives and reveals what's hidden deep inside. And that's what purges us to be and transforms us to become more like him. So it's so important, the fellowship and spending time with him as we follow him, because his light is going to shine in our life and it's going to change those things that we don't even realize are still there oftentimes. And so, you know, along with following, the fellowship, the talking, the communication, the time spent, because often Jesus would withdraw and spend time with the Father. And you always heard him say, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. And you can only get there through that time spent, you know, in the morning. And it has to be intentional time. You have to set aside time to where you know that your Father is speaking, even when you can't hear him speaking.
Mm-hmm. And I love that he's a good Father. So he doesn't overwhelm us with, here's your list of everything that's wrong. Thankfully, he knows what to do at what time. And when we get through that, then guess what? There's going to be something else. but he's continually perfecting us. I'm thankful. So at the end, I saved some time because I want to do something a little practical. And I have some scenarios, and I'm going to ask us to get in kind of small groups. And I want you to read each scenario as a group, and everyone in the group share what is something you could say in that situation. And I'm fully aware that in this situation, the Holy Spirit might lead differently. But I think in this moment, it's good to hear. Because we have different perspectives and different personalities, and you may hear someone and be like, I never thought about that, but yeah. In that situation, that could be really helpful. So I'm going to read the scenarios just so you hear what they are, and then I'll pass them out, and we'll do small groups for the last 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. And I did two that were kind of like church scenarios, because as I said, you can reach out in the church as well, and two that are more worldly scenarios. So number one says, a neighbor's wife has recently passed away. He's been lonely, and one day he mentions to you that he doesn't think life is worth living anymore. What can you do or say? And the reason I really want us to think about this is because sometimes we don't do anything because we don't know what to do. And as the church, we have the answer to every situation. And we need to be prepared and ready for when that door opens that we can step through it and reach out to someone in need. Scenario number two says that you notice a new family at church. It's a single mom with three children that you've never seen before. The children were very loud. Anyone ever experienced that? Sitting in church service on Sunday morning, the kids are very loud. And during the service, the youngest ran down the aisle, and the mother had to chase him. What can you do or say? Because again, what I most often see is people do nothing. And we think we're being kind because we're not giving dirty looks, but we did nothing to reach out to that individual. And that has got to stop. We've got to be willing to have a hard conversation or an encouraging conversation or to just step out and say something to someone we don't know. Number three says a coworker has a son who is addicted to drugs. The coworker often talks about how frustrated he is with his son, how scary this situation is. The coworker often looks very discouraged. What can you do or say? And the last one, there are children that you've seen grow up in church that can sometimes be disrespectful. They run through the sanctuary after service, not watching where they're going, sometimes almost knocking people over. They eat food in the sanctuary, leaving wrappers on the floor. Their parents never seem to be around when this is happening. What can you do or say? Because sometimes we think we shouldn't do anything, and that's simply not true. We are examples to these young people, to these young adults, to coworkers, to neighbors. We are examples, as we heard it said. We are examples. And I don't think Christ would just sit and not do anything or say anything when people need an answer. And so if we would, I'm going to ask like this group up here, if you guys can kind of join together, like four or five people. Going to make you guys work a little bit tonight. And Jim, you can probably go ahead and turn that off if you haven't yet. Okay. And take those. I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and pray, and then when your group is done discussing, you can be dismissed. But I would love everyone to participate and share. I want to hear everyone's voices. Share your thoughts to the group. But Parker Brown needs prayer and needs salvation. Is that the same one you had? So Parker Brown, and then my uncle, Charles, we also had that in the prayer chain this week, had an infection in his foot. They're still talking about amputating. They said probably tomorrow. If they don't amputate, he'll need another surgery. He's having kidney and heart issues now as well. So we'll pray for those two situations. Heavenly Father, God, you see Parker right now. And dear God, I know that he knows the truth, that, God, he's not a stranger to who you are. And so, Lord, I just pray that you meet him where he is and reveal yourself to him, dear God, in a personal way. God, let him experience you for himself. Let him see that you are real, that you care about him, that you've created him for a purpose. And so, Father God, I just pray that he will begin to make better choices, Father, that he will see that his way does not work and that he needs to get wisdom from you and you alone, Father. And I just pray that you'll put people in his path, teachers or coaches or friends who will share the gospel, who will share the truth with him, dear God. And I pray that you will remove those people out of his life who are dragging him down and pulling him into this world, dear God. But I just pray for a hedge of protection around his mind and his body and his soul. And God, for Charles right now, you know the situation first and foremost. I pray for salvation. He is not a stranger to you, dear God, but I pray that you give him an opportunity to make sure that his heart is right with you and that he does make you Lord of his life. And dear God, I pray that you will work through the situation so that his entire family will see that you are real, that you are still a miracle-working God, and that you can do all things. We just submit and surrender him into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.